Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls, and welcome to what we're sure will be our greatest year in writing.
Hello, and welcome to Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Jeff Walensky, and I'm the founder of 2B Enterprises. I'm dedicated to helping people escape the 9-to-5, follow their passion, and love their work. I'm the founder and co-creator of Broadway Bodies, the fun way to work out to your favorite show tunes, the founder of Javelin Business Coaching, and a few more business ventures. Every other week, join us for a conversation with those who have created fun businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. We are broadcasting live from New York City, that concrete jungle where dreams are made of. Today is our coffee talk episode, so make sure you have your favorite brew nearby, your iced latte, your pumpkin spice latte, your cup of Joe, or your cafe grumpy. It's the daily grind with some inspiring coffee shop owners based here and founded in New York City. Well, welcome to a new season and happy fall as we enter the second or third day. Fall is a time of dual purpose. It's a time to gather the main harvest, and it's a time to determine what is needed for the upcoming winter. It's also a time about balance. Fall is considered a season of balance, a time which you can restore balance to your own life. There is certainly change in the air. Our allergies are back, responsibilities are back, it's back to work, it's back to school, and many feel pressured, like a squirrel that has to start storing nuts for the winter. We begin to layer our clothes, start to feel behind, and we must take in all the adjustments that come from going into a new season and that feeling of time passing by. So if you've thought about starting a business and you haven't gotten to it yet, now is the time. It is the season. There are many resources out there to help you, and I'm just one of them in my business coaching practice. I've helped many people, as I like to say, let their inner entrepreneur out and go from saying it to doing it. This radio show every other week is to inspire you so you can meet other entrepreneurs, hear from them, hear their stories, all of them have blazed a trail for you. They are just like you and me. They're smart, driven people who had a dream and against the odds got out of the 9-to-5, stuck it out to create something which has meaning and passion for them. If you missed our last episode from September 10th, make sure you listen into the archive. We took highlights from 12, all of our summer guests on the show, and we basically gave you the kitchen sink. You can hear from companies like Lilac Chocolate, Denim Therapy, Victoria Gardens Froyo Shop, La New Yorkina Popsicles, Stage Buzz, radio show Two Fags and a Hag, Dog Training Let's Play Dog, Shrink Session and Magical Manifestors, and some others. If you listen to this and you like what they're saying, you can go back and tune into the archived episode and hear their whole version and their whole story. All those and more can be listened to at our archive at Life Coach Radio Network, Fun to Fortune Success Series on Blog Talk Radio. Today, a little later today, I am joined by our guests, Jonathan Rubenstein of Joe's Coffee and Caroline Bell of Cafe Grumpy. I'm calling it our Coffee Talk episode, The Daily Grind. You may be curious, where did the words and the phrase, the daily grind, come from? Well, the daily grind, no doubt, means something that you have to do every day, day after day, day in, day out, every day of the year. It's boring, it's tedious, it's repetitive. But what is it exactly, and where did it originate? Well, hold on. The term the daily grind actually comes from Anglo-Saxon England. It refers to the grinding and crushing of grains, specifically corn kernels or kernels of wheat. Grinding the grains up like this produced flour, which was used to make bread, which was the staple food of Roman and later Anglo-Saxon society. Guess what? Without the daily grind, you had no flour, and no flour meant no bread, and no bread meant that you starved to death. You wouldn't be able to go out and buy your flour to bake your bread like you would today. It all had to be done at home with your own grindstone, and it was something you had to do every single day. So that is where the origination is for the daily grind. So let me just tell you how you may call in if you want to ask questions of our guest today. The guest call-in number is 646-716-9397, and you can ask a question to myself or Jonathan Rubenstein of Joe's Coffee, and we can get your question to Caroline Bell, who pre-recorded our interview yesterday. So I am inspired by people who I meet who are doing wonderful things, very cool things, having fun and creating wealth and abundance for themselves and for others. They're out there doing great work. They share their business, their inspiration readily, their roadblocks, and their obstacles. Our guests today are local coffee joints that are right here in Chelsea around the corner, and they've been expanding all over Brooklyn, Philadelphia, New York City. And not only is their coffee delicious, but they stand for something. And they're out there bucking the trends. Many entrepreneurs in the world of coffee wouldn't even challenge the behemoths like Starbucks. But these two did. And it took some doing. It took some creativity. And you're going to meet and hear from them in just about 5 minutes or so. One of my inspirations is the Master of Living quote. And let me tell you what a Master of Living is. The master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he is always doing both. I'll say that again. She simply pursues her vision of excellence at whatever she does, leaving others to decide whether she is working or playing. To her, she is always doing both. Just let that sink in a little bit. Isn't that a world we all aspire to? Loving our work, not distinguishing between work and play. So we're here, so if you have a dream or if you would like to start a business, maybe you can get some inspiration here. You can talk to our guests. You can meet our guests. You can hear what they have to say. You can hear what they needed to do. And many different resources they use to get their business off and running. For those who are just listening or just tuning in, this is the Life Coach Radio Network. We are on the line today with Coach Jeff, Fun to Fortune Success Series. I'm Jeff Belinsky, and you can find out more about me at www.javelin.com. That's J-A-V as in Victor, I-L, en.com or www.jeffvalinsky.com. I host this show every other Tuesday at noon with different entrepreneurs. We've had an amazing selection of entrepreneurs since our launch this summer. And you can hear the Kitchen Sink episode from September 10th, and hear a little tidbit from each of those. And then go back and listen to the archive of the one that you want to hear more from. can call in our radio show at 646-716-9397. You can tweet at us. Our handle is Coach Host Radio. And you can like us on Facebook at the Life Coach Radio Network. So today is our Coffee Talk episode. I'll tell you a little bit about who we're going to be meeting today. First is Jonathan Rabinowitz. He is the owner and founder of Joe's Coffee. Actually, it's called Joe, the Art of Coffee. His business started in 2003. It's local, family-owned. And, quote, it's perhaps the best all-around coffee shop in New York City, according to Eater, with, quote, some of the best-trained baristas in the business, if you ask Indeed Magazine. Joe is dedicated to making flawless coffee served with warm hospitality. Joe has been named one of the best U.S. coffee bars by Food & Wine magazine and listed as one of the 10 outstanding coffee bars in New York City by the New York Times. It's had countless articles, mentions, and awards besides. We're going to hear from Joe in just a few minutes, and then, or actually, we're going to hear from Jonathan in just a few minutes talking about Joe, the Art of Coffee. And then after that, we're going to hear from Caroline Bell. Caroline Bell and her husband founded Cafe Grumpy. And to the untrained eye, Cafe Grumpy seems just like another typical coffee shop. But many soon discover it's famous for its coffee world for two reasons. One, the shop owned two of only 250 clover coffee makers in existence. And two, Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz had seen a long line at Cafe Grumpy, walked into the shop, and later declared the coffee made by the clover to be the best cup of brewed coffee he had ever tasted. So we're going to hear from her later on. Cafe Grumpy has multiple locations in Brooklyn, New York, and is expanding more and more. While we're waiting for Jonathan, I'll tell you about some of the upcoming shows on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We have tomorrow is Attracting Prosperity Easily and Effortlessly. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., interested in taking your finances and your career to the next level? You won't want to miss this episode. Then on Thursday at 7 p.m., we have Gaining Perspective with Andrea Rochelman. Often in life, we only see things one way. We never know how often we wear our blinders until someone else paints a picture we've never seen before. Tune in with her, and you will see a new perspective. So back to Fun to Fortune Success Series. I'm Coach Jeff. It looks like we have a caller on the line, and I suspect that it is Jonathan Rubinstein of Joe, the Art of Coffee. So without further ado, I'm going to make Joe's mic live. And remember, Joe started in 2003, perhaps the best all-around coffee shop in New York City, some of the best-trained baristas in the business, named the best U.S. coffee bar by Food & Wine, and we are very excited to have Joe on the line today. Let me make his microphone live and bring Joe into the conversation. Hello, Joe. Jonathan, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to Fun to Fortune Success Series with Coach Jeff and Jonathan Rubinstein.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I keep making the mistake of calling you Joe, which I imagine happens very often.
Every single day, yes. Yes.
So tell us.
That's okay.
Tell us, do you now go by Joe?
I do not actually go by Joe. Joe is what's in your cup, but I have customers who have been coming in for 10 years who still think my name is Joe, and at some point you just sort of can't correct them and you just go with it. It's okay.
Right.
Well, the first
two letters of your name do start with J-O, so, you know, it's an abbreviation.
Right. All right, so it works.
So let's talk about your business. What is your official business name?
It's actually just Joe. Over the years have been called Joe the Art of Coffee and Joe's and Joe Coffee, but we actually are just Joe, and it took a bunch of years until we thought our brand was strong enough that we could stand just on one word. And a couple years ago, we decided we were ready, and we have been sort of backtracking and trying to establish ourselves just with that word and our logo for a couple years.
Great. Well, it's certainly one way to keep it simple and straightforward, right?
We think so.
And what's in talking about brand, what is your tagline or your one sentence business description? What's your distinguishing descriptor?
That's a good question. I mean, our mission is certainly about having the best culinary product and delivering it with the most hospitality. So I probably would say great coffee served by great people, if we were coming up with exact wording or something like that. Yeah, it's much more about just the experience than just about what you actually get in your cup, although that's hugely important and has been a big part of our success for sure.
Yeah, and one of the experiences I know that you use that that I've had personally is just seeing what kind of art will be on the top of my cappuccino.
Ah, cool.
With
yes, icing on a cake.
You never know if it's going to be a leaf or something of the season or sort of what will appear. I guess it depends on the barista, huh?
It does, yes. Yeah, but something should always be there to sort of, really for us, it's to show kind of how much we care about each individual cup that we're passing out.
Give us, before we go into the fun part for you and how you got started in the business and all the business you've done, just give us a little brief history of when you started, where you're at now, and so we sort of have a little background.
Oh, sure. So I was in a totally different business. I was actually a talent agent, and in 2002, I got laid off, or actually got fired. And sort of had the chance to reevaluate what I wanted to do. And I had a list of these dream jobs, and one of them was definitely owning. At the time, the idea was a single coffee bar in Greenwich Village, the sort of quintessential. And so I found this great space on Waverly Place and Gay Street in the Village, and sort of crossed the other things off my list and decided that was what I was going to do. And so we opened that store in the summer of 2003 and had, you know, some nice success and a lot of press and this sort of snowballing excitement from the city to make us say maybe we could do this again and maybe someday we'd have three. And over the course of 10 years, we've opened, actually as of yesterday, now 10 stores, 8 in New York City, 2 in Philadelphia, and we've just launched a roasting business as well, which was a goal we have had for years and years. And so, you know, 10 years later, it's a very, very different business than it was when we started. My job is very different. The organization is an organization, which is very different. And, you know, we're now hoping to be sort of New York City's local hometown hero, roastery and bunch of cafes. And that's kind of where we are right now. There are a couple other facets of our business, but those are the majority of what we do.
Great. Well, congratulations on your 10th year anniversary.
Thank you.
Question.
In coffee
you
years,
that's
like... I'm sorry, go ahead.
How many years is that in coffee years? I want to hear the conversion.
In coffee years, we're like 100. Well, truly, because what's funny is when we first opened, it was Starbucks, really, and diner coffee, and coffee shops sort of came and went. They were open for 2 or 3 years, but 10 years is a very long time, and we're sort of considered like the old school of, at least in terms of business of this. We still feel so new, and it's kind of shocking when I stop and think, but 10 years is a really long time for a business. Our first store, we've just started our first big lease extension. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and especially in one of the most competitive, you know, culinary, you know, cups, if you will, of drinks. So
definitely.
Is a long time.
It is. Although it wasn't when we started. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. For the sake of our listeners, when you had that list of prospective businesses, because I hear this a lot from the different entrepreneurs,
yeah.
I had a list of things. How did coffee jump off the page for you, or how did a coffee shop, or what was the thing that jumped, that made you cross everything else off and go with this? Like, what was it saying?
That's a great question. There are two things. One is, to be totally honest, is I found this great spot, and it was for rent, and before I knew it, it was sort of like, oh, wow, I can get this. I better move quickly. That was a big part of it, but maybe a little bit before that was sort of the realization that in New York City, which was the culinary capital of the world, everything had been done, but no one was really doing coffee well or treating it like a culinary art. No one was doing what was happening on the West Coast and in Chicago. It was so huge in Portland and Seattle. And so I think when the opportunity to sort of find a niche in a place like New York City where everything's been done and done to death and done so well was so unique. And I think I realized that back then, and that was a big part of like, wow, maybe we can really, I don't mean make a difference like a charity, but maybe we could really make a difference in, make a mark, I guess, in New York City. And that's what happened. And that's what happened really, I guess, sort of quickly. Within a month or so, we had won, I think, sounds egotistical, I don't mean for it to, but to be able, for example, a month after we opened, we had won the Best Coffee Award from New York Magazine and the Village Voice and Time Out New York, and it was sort of like, when does someone get the chance to really open people's eyes in New York City, what is new to create? And I know we sort of saw that opportunity before we opened.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. I'm glad you shared that, because sometimes businesses take shape from a passion, like, you know, I can't stop doing this and I need to, you know, I want to, it's my hobby, it's my life.
Right.
And sometimes they come from seizing an opportunity. How many times in New York or any city do we walk down the street and like, this street, this block needs this, you know, it would be amazing here. And then weeks later, something opened. So you saw the opportunity and you went with it. And then you combine
100%.
That with, you know, and so it's like, That's a great way for things to happen, and it's a great way for people to sort of, entrepreneurs who are thinking of starting a business, get out of their head and get out and walk around and see, what is this place, what does this area need, or what do I need in my life that I'm not getting? What can I start and tap into my skills? So, Jonathan, what is the fun part for you? This is the Fun to Fortune Success Series. So where do you get the most joy and satisfaction after being in the business 10 years? What sort of keeps you going and makes it fun for you?
Growth. It's really about growth. I am certain that if we had stopped at 3 stores 8 years ago, I would be bored to death. I wouldn't be here day to day. At some point when it's just sort of running the same stores and you're not looking towards the future, for me, as sort of maybe a serial entrepreneur, that's where the fun is. It's in sort of going from 1 to 10 and, you know, continuing to push the envelope in terms of reputation. That was a big part, was how we were perceived within the industry, which you have to always, I'm finding, sort of reinvent yourself or, you know, be looking to be a trendsetter, not a follower. And then I think the other thing is, you know, we're all about the product, but we're also all about the people. So over the years, watching our people grow and go off to do really great things and sort of grow into bigger parts of the organization, for example, and when we started, of course, there was no structure. I was the manager and the HR person, and I did the books. And now I'm calling you from our sort of offices where I'm going to say 6 out of 7 people back here started as baristas. And now they have jobs in HR and the director of retail and the director of coffee and our director of roasting. And to see all these people now have sort of these big boy jobs that are now careers and are really exciting for them, and they're growing with us, is so incredibly rewarding.
That is a great story. It's really,
it's amazing.
Really grassroots. People who started in the store, you know, at the cashier, and grow with you. They really stay with you because they believe in the work you do. They believe in you.
Yes.
And as an entrepreneur, it's interesting. You pointed out something that is something that a lot of entrepreneurs sort of don't know what to do with, which is they start a business and they get up and running, and then they get bored because they love the start. You know, they love the, you know, getting things off the ground. And so you've been
right.
able to sort of, you know, take your desire to keep growing and growing and also build and, you know, my sense is build a model that works and keep refining that model, you know, by using the people that you rely on and that come to, you know, love you and your work. And just sort of so keeping it fun is really important. And as you mentioned, if you only did 3 stores, you'd be bored to death. And so you have to, as an entrepreneur, continue to seek what is fun for you. What do you get the most satisfaction out of? And I thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
you
no, thank you. It's
also,
very true.
Yeah, and you also mentioned, you didn't say the word, but this is the essence, it's community. How important is community in your business for your customers, for the people that you work, you know, who work for you, your employees? You sort of alluded to it and talked about it. I just want you to elaborate
yeah.
a little more.
You know, it's very for us. It's a really sort of at the forefront of all of our decision making, I think. It's not, you know, I think to some degree it's unique for us, i.e., to go back to what we talked about earlier, you know, could I go out and have hired sort of more seasoned people to run a lot of these departments? Probably, but I would choose to sort of be surrounded by the people who are deserving and have been part of our company perhaps before I would bring someone in who even might be slightly better. Maybe they would make us a little bit more money. But when we look at, for example, opening a store, it's going to always come back to, do we have the people who want to seize the opportunity to run it, who have been with us? When we go into a new neighborhood, it's how can we be part of the community to show that we're part of the community, but really not in an empty just because it will bring people in way, but more because that's kind of what it's about, and we're a local coffee bar regardless of how big we've been. So I think those two things hand in hand, it's sort of, you know, we'll stop and for any decision, whether it's growth internally or moving into another market, it's always, does this benefit the people who have been part of us, or could it add people who could be part of this from their communities? And it's sort of like, if the answer is no, we're probably going to pass. I think our success is really built on the sort of love internally and externally for what, and the belief in what we're doing, and treating at least the internal community, our staff, as well as we can possibly treat them, as respectfully, as generously as we can. And that's what keeps people with us for a long period of time and lets us sort of grow and maintain quality and be successful. So
and
I don't know if that answers
your
question, but yes.
All the coffee
yes, well,
keep
sure.
Them alive, keep them awake and,
yes.
and buzzing. So a lot of the people on our call, and I mentioned this earlier, it's a change of season. It's back to work, back to the daily grind. It's back to sort of an idea in their head brewing about starting a business. So when you had that list of potential businesses and saw that opportunity, how did you find support to support you along the way? Did you hire a coach? Did you have a mentor? Did you take any courses? Did you read any books? What helped you stay on course when all those sort of doubts came up of like, oh, I have this idea, but I don't know, you know, I'm not sure how to get it done and I need
help.
So what were the resources you used?
At the beginning, the very beginning, I really didn't have them. I read books, how-to books that I got on Amazon. But I'm going to say a couple years into it, and I asked a lot of just sort of advice from people I trusted, but a couple years into it when it was turning from a shop to 3 shops, and I felt like, oh, we have to figure out how to have an organization or how do we sort of use the strength of these 3 shops together, I reached out to who became a big mentor of mine, who's Randy Garuti, who's the CEO of Shake Shack. And he was the first one to be able to really give me some time in terms of how to structure this and what to look for in terms of growth and why to or not to grow. And over the years, he's been a huge mentor. He's very generous with his time. I'm able to go to him whenever there's sort of a major conundrum and just sort of listen to someone who's the voice of the voice of reason and very smart and experienced and a lot more so than I am, to be honest. So it's sort of, and I'll reach out to other people as well. It's like in a respectful way without using people's times. I feel like one has to use whatever resources in terms of people they can. And I will definitely call people often to say, what should I do about the situation? Or what's your take, if I trust that they have something to add. But other than no, I mean, that's really it for me.
Good. Well, no, that's a lot. And asking for help, a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in the early stages, have a lot of, you know, hard time asking for help. They want to sort of get it right and launch it right and do everything themselves. And then you realize, you know, as you mentioned, wearing all those hats, you just can't. You can't do everything
well. No, you can't.
You have to ask for help. You have to get help. And you have to, you know, realize that you don't have the answers for everything. So I love that you found a mentor and a coach in a fellow business owner. That's really priceless, because if someone can benefit from the experience of someone else who has a successful business and bounce things off of them, it's really valuable. So that's great that you're able to forge that relationship. And I highly recommend all entrepreneurs to create that as best they can.
Yes.
Let's move on to another question, because I know you only have a few more minutes left.
All right.
I wanted to get to I lost my train of thought. So what about, in that same vein, what about some of the obstacles or advice you would have for would-be entrepreneurs? Like, what kind of things surprised you, you know, on the good side or the bad side? What were the obstacles, and what sort of did you have to pull, you know, out of yourself to get through them and get through?
I'm going to say sometimes not thinking through every aspect of a new endeavor, getting excited about something without really sometimes sitting down and thinking through all of the challenges and logistics, making sure that if it's a business that requires money, you always have sort of a cushion and you have a very clear budget in mind. We've definitely been in a few situations where we've gotten so excited about just starting something, you know, again, signing a new lease or something quickly before we've really had time to do the due diligence. It's probably been kind of our biggest, and the two times that we didn't succeed, we've had two, not stores, but projects that we were part of that we pulled out of. I think both times we've realized the mistake was that we didn't really think through, was the fit right, and was this sort of, did we understand every angle? It was just a potential great opportunity, and we said, oh, let's do it. And then it wasn't something that we had thought through maybe in the big picture and talked to enough people about pros and cons. It's very easy to get excited about the pros of something and sometimes not stop and really think about the negative aspects before embarking in a big new project.
Great advice. So yeah, so basically think about the pros and cons, really go over all the details.
Yeah.
The excitement is sort of settled and
and I guess
obviously learn. You learn every time that happens. You learn.
Definitely.
I'm sure you don't.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure you operate a lot differently than you had in those situations.
Very much so. Yeah.
Cool. So what's been your fortune? What's come from all the fruits of your labor, independence, fame, being in two cities, maybe your two favorite cities, wealth, relationships, having coffee at your whim? What is the fortune for you?
Oh my gosh, you just said it. You kind of just said it. It's really all those things. For me, I think a sense of making a mark is enormous. I love, you know, meeting someone who says, oh my gosh, you're the guy who owns or started Joe Coffee. That's amazing. And I have that sort of towards Danny. Yeah, well, yes, that too. And just the sort of feeling and knowledge of knowing that there are 175 people who have jobs which they mostly love because of you.
Wow.
I think those sorts of things. It's been, I feel incredibly blessed, and it's been enormously rewarding what I've done. I never imagined it. you know, who knows what the future will hold, but it's been an incredible journey. And I think that it's a very, I can't say it's an easy journey for anybody, but it, you know, there are opportunities like that for people who are entrepreneurs who just, who want to do something like this. It's just finding the right thing and then doing it as well as you can. How's that for a closing
Wonderful.
Line before I run to this meeting?
Wonderful. Before you leave, how do people find you, online, offline? I know you have a lot of stores, but what's the best way to find
you? Yes, thank you. You have a pretty decent website. That's joenewyork.com or joephiladelphia.com. They go to the same place. Or jonathan@joenewyork.com.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts and inspiring other entrepreneurs. And
thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, Jonathan. And listeners, that was Jonathan Rubinstein of Joe, the Art of Coffee in New York City and Philadelphia. And Jonathan was really amazing in sort of being really practical about how he got started and honest about, you know, how ideas come to you and how things sort of just fall into place. And he's celebrating his 10-year anniversary after opening his first store in Greenwich Village and bucking the trend, going up against Starbucks when Starbucks was the only game in town, and really, you know, creating jobs for 175 people, growing from within, and really learning from his mistakes. Really, truly inspirational speaker. Our next guest is Caroline Bell. And one of the themes you'll see here is real estate, being very careful about leases. She makes the same points on getting into real estate and leases before you really do all the due diligence. So that's really careful. It can make or break your business. Before we move into another of our guests, word from our sponsor. Let me ask you if you've ever wanted to host or have your own radio show. If so, then you should run to Amazon online and download a copy of this new book, Is This Thing On? How to Host Your Own Internet Radio Show. It's a short book, and it's only $3.97. Explore how to start your own successful online radio show with radio host Anthony Calcera. He will teach you all the important things you need to know to become a well-known name in the radio industry. Anthony has been on our show before. He runs a wonderful, funny comic show called Two Fags and a Hag, which is hysterical. So check out his book, Is This Thing On? How to Host Your Own Internet Radio Show on Amazon. I am going to bring in Caroline Bell from Cafe Grumpy with locations in Brooklyn and New York City. And let's begin with Caroline. Well, we have Caroline Bell on the line from Cafe Grumpy. Caroline, how are you today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great. Welcome to our show, The Daily Grind, on Fund the Fortune Entrepreneur Success Series. So tell us about your business name. What is your business?
Okay, well, our name is Cafe Grumpy, and we're an independent coffee company with 5 retail cafe locations in New York City, and we have an in-house coffee roastery as well as a bakery.
Great. And what's your sort of tagline? What's behind Cafe Grumpy? What's your tagline? What's your one-sentence description?
I guess, I don't know if I can narrow it down, but it's kind of focus on quality and, you know, without the attitude. So just keeping things simple.
Great. I love it. And when I was talking to you earlier, we talked a little bit about the source behind Cafe Grumpy, even that sort of your distinct logo and your branding. And you had mentioned something that I thought was really sort of interesting about how when people come in. Can you just tell us again?
Yeah, sure. So back in 2005 when we were opening, my partner and I were looking for, you know, good quality coffee shops to go to, and we found that anytime we'd find anything halfway decent, the people working weren't very welcoming and they were a little bit obnoxious. So we kind of sarcastically said, you know, these places are making us grumpy. So we just took that for our store. And then for the logo, it's a coffee bean, so we my brother made the logo for us based on that, just a frowny bean, and it kind of, I think it appeals to a lot of different people. You know, if they're having a bad day, they want coffee to, you know, make them happy in the morning, and it's just, even if they don't speak English, they kind of relate to the logo, which is good for New York City, where there are a lot of tourists.
Yeah, I love that. And what you just said, there were sort of two interesting things. One is the logo and sort of the expression, and all came from your and your own partner's experiences. It's really important when businesses bring in their own personality and their experience into their brand. It speaks so much more. So really love that. You also spoke to the support, and we're going to get into this a little more, but I think you mentioned your brother helped you sort of sketch out the logo and just using sort of, you know, on this show we've talked about so many different ways that business owners get support, and sometimes it's family and friends, and sometimes it's hired people, but basically it's so many different different ways. So we'll go back into that when we get to that. But so tell us about the fun part to you. So where do you get the most joy, the most satisfaction of starting your business, running your business? I know that you're opening another shop just recently, I think in the last week or two. So where does the joy and satisfaction come from you in running and owning Cafe Grumpy?
Well, I guess this is a coffee shop. I think the most enjoyable part is just going, I still take the subway, I don't have a car or anything, but I go store to store and just trying the coffee and seeing how the customers at each store interact with the baristas, and just, you know, being able to sit there and have a coffee is probably one of the highlights of my day. So just to, you know, the inherent nature of the business being coffee, that's, you know, pretty good for me. So that kind of is a little break if you're, you know, if that business owner, you find that you just really don't have that much time for yourself. So just being able to have a coffee break at one of each of our stores is pretty good for me. And just reading on the subway kind of fun stuff. So
just going into the store of having a coffee and really a place for you to take a break and see what others are experiencing. Did I get that?
Yeah, definitely. You can observe how the customers are acting. You know, each store is in a different kind of neighborhood, so each store has a different feel. But over, I think, in general, we try to keep the same environment, like same kind of, I don't know, we have the same baristas. They rotate store to store, but each neighborhood, because of the customers and where they're located, kind of has its own special vibe, I guess. So, yeah, just just observing and just kind of hanging out, I think, is important.
Yeah. So do you have a special favorite blend that you like, or do you try them all?
Well, in the morning I like to have a cappuccino, so now I don't usually have to order. I just get one appears for me, which is pretty cool. And then afternoon, I usually brewed coffee or pour over, so it depends on. The menu rotates, so we get to try a lot of different coffees. So.
That's great. And unlike, oftentimes when people work at an ice cream shop or a bakery, the last thing they want is, you know, a scoop of ice cream. They're so over it. But it sounds like coffee continues to sort of, there's always something about it that brings you back. I don't know, like the flavor, the essence. What is it for you?
Yeah, I think it's everything. It's just part of your day, especially in New York City. Just kind of, it's not just the caffeine, it's just kind of the routine and just the feeling. And like I said before, just kind of the pause that you get when you're, you know, able to sit and have the coffee. So I'm glad I like coffee. So, you know, that, I think that's part.
That is a good thing. Okay, and so when did you open your first coffee shop?
So we opened in 2005, and our first location was in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And back then, I mean, this neighborhood's obviously, if anyone's, you know, reading, lives in New York or reads the paper, the neighborhood's obviously come to kind of a revival, and Williamsburg is growing and kind of filling out into Greenpoint. But back in 2005, it was a pretty quiet neighborhood, so it was a slow start, but eventually, you know, it started to get busier.
Great. Now, what has been your fortune? So what has come from your efforts, the fruits of your labor? What are the things that that you relish in that other business owners may look forward to in running their own business?
Well, I guess it's just being independent, you know, not having to, you're working for yourself, so all the effort that you put in, you know, you're the end of the line. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for, you know, other people, maybe doing it for their families. So I think just being independent, being able to I mean, you work your own schedule. Obviously, if you're running your own business, you basically, that means that you work 7 days a week. But still, if you're 5 minutes late to a meeting that you arranged, you know, if you don't feel as bad as if, you know, if it were someone else's business. And I guess also experience, I feel like I really look back and I can't believe, I can't believe how long it's been. I also can't believe how much I've learned. And there's no way I would have learned what I have if I hadn't started the business. So you really see things differently, and you kind of learn about your strengths and your weaknesses and how all of your past experiences and jobs kind of work together, and just you naturally, you know, adjust and, I don't know, I guess hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, when you start a business, you're sort of put to the test, you know. So you either, you know, you learn what you're good at, you learn what you're not good at, you learn what you need help in. And, you know, so many different hats you're wearing and things you are involved in. So on that note, what and how did you get support for starting your business? Who did you tap into, whether it's mentors or coaches or schooling or friends or family or your background? What are the different ways that you got support along the way?
I think, like you mentioned before, you know, my brother helped with the logo, and at the beginning he actually worked a few shifts. My husband and I started the business together, so it's kind of a team effort there. You know, my family was, like, emotionally supportive, you know, trying to, you know, check in, see how it's doing, visiting the stores and stuff like that. Financially, you know, it was a challenge. We didn't get loans or anything like that. Cash in all your 401k that you saved up and max your credit cards out, stuff like that. But I think, I mean, as far as resources for business, I feel like there's more of them available now. Maybe I just didn't know about them back then when I was starting out. But so I think the one I did read a few books, like I read The E-Myth. That was pretty interesting, just thinking about the businesses, setting them up so they could be a franchise, even though that's not what our goal was, but just, you know, letting things run well and just putting systems in place. I think that's pretty much it. And then it's just like trial and error. And hard work.
Mm. Yeah, well, you make it sound so easy. You know, if I was a new listener out there, like, wow, just, like, you know, a couple of family members and a couple books, and I get, you know, I get five. So what do you have that you're not sharing? What do you have in you that, that, you know, it's just part of who you are to sort of continue to move up, go on and learn and be successful?
Yeah, I think you just have to keep going, and where you're, I mean, you know, you're not going to realize how hard you're going to have to work. You just have to just keep going. You know, you're working 7 days a week. You're thinking about things in the shower. You're thinking about you don't have really a moment to yourself. The things that you might have liked to do, you know, on the side earlier, you're not going to be able to do. You know, there's obviously a lot of sacrifices, but I feel like if you work hard, you can accomplish what you want to accomplish. But it does take, you know, you're going to go through, obviously, hard times. And I think you mentioned a little earlier when we were talking about trying to find balance and stuff like that. Well, that didn't happen until, like, a few years into it, I think. I think you have to get overwhelmed before you realize, okay, I have to take a few, you know, little time for myself. So that's something I think you just learn. And
Yeah. So it sounds like for you, you just keep trying, trial and error, try things. It takes like a, you know, it takes a sort of a strong, what's that word, you know, like being very resilient to do that. And then, I guess, as most business owners experience, get to the point of overwhelm where you're realizing that, you know, the business has taken over your life. And in order for you to run it properly and not be grumpy, be that sort of, you know, face of the organization, you have to take a few steps back and take care of yourself and balance.
And I think you do have to let go of certain things. Like, you shouldn't micromanage. I mean, I think for cafes, you can't really micromanage. You kind of have to try to see big picture. You know, you're not going to be happy with everything. And if you're an independent company like we are, you know, you're not going to have the resources to make things look as you would ideally like them to look, as, you know, in comparison to maybe your competitors. So I think that's, you just have to kind of do what you can and see a big picture.
Yeah. Great. So what advice do you have for entrepreneurs, or, you know, what kind of obstacles have you faced along the way in growing your businesses. You have actual physical locations. You're dealing with imports of beans. You're dealing with people. You're dealing with retail environment, New York City, all the things that came, the storms, the shutdowns, the things like that. So what kind of obstacles have you had in starting and getting off the ground?
I think most of our obstacles have been financial, and you have to go, like you said, New York City, there's a lot of bureaucracy. You have to get through little things that come up. You'll get a fine for not having something that you didn't know you needed in the first place. So you just have to be prepared for surprises. And, obviously financially, day-to-day is still challenging. So you just you just keep going, do what you can, and just be, I think you have to believe in yourself and what your ideal was for the business, because you're going to get a lot of people, offering their suggestions, which sometimes are helpful, but then, critiquing, and you're going to get things online, and you just kind of have to, just believe in what you're doing, be confident, and, use your best judgment and your gut, I guess.
Yeah, that is true. Tapping into your intuition, your gut, and, knowing what feels right. And the obstacles, you mentioned financial obstacles, which is a big obstacle for a lot of entrepreneurs, because a lot of people, they don't even want to get started because they think they need a huge, amount of savings to do things. And I recall earlier in the call you had mentioned that you had maxed out on your credit cards, which is, one very resourceful way. I know a lot of business owners, when they started, they basically took out as many cards as they can, and they got those 0% interest for 2 years and things like that. I obviously need good credit, but what did you learn about finding resources for money for starting businesses or for starting your business out there?
Well, I think in the food industry, and like coffee is obviously considered that, I think it really is a problem for people to get funding. I know that there's a lot of the Small Business Association, there's a few meetings around, like Made in New York is trying to be helpful with small business, but I think it's a big problem in the States, and I don't think small businesses get enough support. So I just, do what you can. If you need to try to get overdraft at your bank, I mean, it depends how much you want to put into it. At the beginning, if you're renting a space, try to negotiate as much, rent-free period as you can. If you need, we had our friends help us build our counter in our first store. So just, do what you can so that you're not spending, you just kind of be thrifty where you can be. Because
yes.
I really don't think there are enough resources for small business owners. So, sorry if that sounds negative. I think it's a problem in the States right now. Everyone's pro-small business, but if it comes down to it, I really think it's hard for people to get funding.
Yeah, it is. It's not impossible, but it's very hard. I mean, you have to go through, if you go the public channels, you've got to fill out forms and forms and forms and be denied over and over. I always say, look to family and friends. There's probably friends who are sitting on money, sitting in the bank, that would love to be part of your organization. That's a whole different sort of animal, but it's, again, be thrifty and use all your resources.
Yeah, and I think now, crowdfunding has become more popular, so I know, some people I know have started businesses that way. I think there's stuff out there, but it's not as easy as I think it should be for people that are trying to, keep the world going, this economy. So.
Good point. Kickstarter, crowdfunding, and other great resources. But I think you really have to consider everything nowadays, and you have to really watch your budget, as you said. You have to, you have to sort of... sometimes when you're starting a new business, you're all excited to sign that first lease, and then you realize, wow, I should have asked for a few months extra free or, something else. But, okay, good. All right. So anything else that you wanted to share? I think we sort of, covered where you're at, where you're going, how you got there. Anything else that you'd like to advise potential business owners or struggling entrepreneurs out there?
I guess just keep working hard and believing in yourself. And I know it gets, sometimes where you just want to give up, but I think, I'm still doing that, trying to convince, be positive and just try as hard as you can. And if you want, because you're working for yourself, and if you can create something where you're giving jobs to other people and creating a great product, I think it'll be, in the end, it'll be worth it. So.
Yeah, great. So, Caroline, Cafe Grumpy is wonderful. I visit the local one on 20th Street. But how do people find you online, offline? Where can they get out of the daily grind and into a cup of your coffee?
All right. Well, we have our website. It's pretty simple, cafegrumpy.com. And then we have 5 locations, so 2 in Brooklyn and 1 in Park Slope, 1 in Greenpoint, and then 3 in Manhattan, Lower East Side, Chelsea, and now the Fashion District. So we're spread around the city, but so you can find us, hopefully.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. 5 locations. That's impressive. Congratulations, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Nice talking to you.
Okay, so we've just heard from Caroline Bell from Cafe Grumpy, and we heard from Jonathan Rubenstein of Joe. Both really inspiring entrepreneurs that started fantastic, unique coffee shops for those who want a different kind of coffee, those who want a different kind of an experience. And both really have shared sort of some of the challenges and things they get out of owning their own business and also really participating in a industry that's really competitive with sort of one giant behemoth out there and sort of how they have bucked the trend. So this is the Life Coach Radio Network. I am Jeff Volinsky. And you are listening to the Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Success Series. Every other week, we bring in a different set of entrepreneurs to tell you their story, to inspire you. If you're thinking about starting your own business or you're out there in business and want to know the next steps, one of the themes we've seen over and over is getting support, whether it's with a coach like myself, one of my fellow coaches in my collective. The Kauffman Institute offers a course in New York City. It's free. It's called Fast Track, and it's wonderful. So there's all these different resources. Or the other resources yourself, as Jonathan pointed out, sometimes going with your gut and seeing an opportunity and going for it. But as, who was it? Francine from Denim Therapy just said, yeah, you have to go with it, but be practical. Go with your gut, but be practical. And as Jonathan mentioned, you will get excited, but you also have to go back into reality and realize it's fall. So this is fall. Fall is a time of change. It's a time for you to go back to your business idea, let your inner entrepreneur out, and stop saying things and actually doing it. So whatever support you need, our entrepreneurs that we've interviewed are out there. You can speak to them. I could put you in touch with them to help you out, get up and running. I can help you out. But basically, take your idea and let's move it forward, whether you're working full-time or you're working part-time. Again, this is the Life Coach Radio Network. This is Fun to Fortune Success Series with Coach Jeff. You can find us on Facebook at Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Jeff Volinsky, the show host of the Fun to Fortune Success Series. You can reach me at www.jeffvolinsky.com or easier, www.javilen.com. So please join us in 2 weeks for our next show. Thank you both, Jonathan Rubenstein and Caroline Bell, for sharing your stories, your inspirations, your challenges, your fun, and your fortune with the listeners of Fun to Fortune. Please have a wonderful day and happy fall.